I think there's a bigger perspective here, certainly, that goes beyond hockey and sport. It's our job, as you've all stated, it's our job to be ready so that if things do change in the world and things do start to improve and open up, that we're ready to go as quickly as possible. It would be great for the country, especially to whenever it is that we start to see any sense of things going back in the direction of the way they were just a short while ago. I think that would be tremendous for the psyche of the entire country.
That's Leafs President Brendan Shanahan speaking on Sportsnet 590 The Fan yesterday. And there's really nothing much left to say at this point, Ziggy. I mean, it's an obvious comment. We'd love to get our hockey back. We'd love to get our basketball back. We'd love to get our baseball started. It was supposed to get underway yesterday. Do you have any prediction on what would have happened yesterday? We should start doing this. We should start determining Blue Jays results every day.
Okay, let's do it.
So yesterday, win or loss, you pick.
Well, I'm going to go with a loss. They haven't won an opening day in 8 years.
Okay, so they're 0-1. Tonight, how are they going to do? They got to win, right?
We're not going to talk about the game and who hit home runs, who made errors?
Doesn't matter. They lost.
What was the pitching like? No, we're not going to get into it?
No, it doesn't matter. They lost. I'm not going to get into that sort of thing, right? Then I wake up at the end of the year and somebody says, well, see, Randall Grichuk had a good year. He had 32 home runs. And I say, well, what did he do for them in April and May? Oh, nothing, right?
Okay, bounce back win tonight.
A bounce back win tonight. I like that. I like that.
That's about all we got.
That's about all we got.
Yeah, no, Brendan Shanahan. I mean, what else can you do? You sit and wait, but he's right. They need to be ready for when it's safe to get back to playing. It's not just going to happen overnight. Whether it's trying to finish the season, whether it's making up some kind of playoff format that works. The problem is that it's tough to plan something when you don't know how much time you have to work with, right? Right. So we have all these different playoff formats that we want to do, but how are you going to know which is going to work? What happens if they say, okay, we have the month of August to do this. We have 4 weeks. What kind of playoff can they put on in 4 weeks, 5 weeks? Like what plan is it? So that's the hard thing, right? Is what can we do?
Well, what do we know, Ziggy? We know that nothing is coming back in April. I don't know how much we can say with,
well, how do we know that though? We don't know. It's going to be, I mean, you have the president of the United States saying we're going to be open for business in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That's not me saying that. That's the president saying that.
Mm-hmm. Do you take anything that he says at face value?
I'm not. I'm just saying if he wants to have everything up and running, this is my whole another thing is happens.
What does he have to do? What does his idiotic ramblings have to do with the National Hockey League coming back when seven teams are based in Canada?
This is the thing. I brought this up a couple
days
ago.
And what do his idiotic ramblings have to do with decisions that individual sports leagues make when? Yeah, we love Florida. We love, hey, Trumpy, who do you want to make the playoffs in the Atlantic Division? Do you want the Leafs to make the playoffs or do you want the Panthers to make the playoffs? Huh? Now, we always knew we didn't like that guy. Hey, one more time, Donnie. Leafs or Panthers? He loves Florida.
I'm not saying, and I'm not agreeing with him. I'm just, what happens if he says, all right, sports leagues, get back. That's it. Can they say, hey, no, we're going
to
deal with.
Why would he even, well, I'm not going to try to apply a rational thought to him, but what, he can order sports leagues
well,
back?
He's ordering everybody else back to work in 2 weeks, apparently.
Well, yeah, that's just, that is the musings of a stupid man. And then, it's not going to happen.
And this is the thing. If you're a sports league and you have the president is saying, all right, everyone back to normal. And you're sitting there like, well, why are we going to go back to normal? This is still an issue. We still have our hospital emergency rooms.
Ziggy, 1 week ago today, it was the Friday of spring break. So those young people get back to wherever it is they're from. Doesn't matter what corner of the United States, some return to Canada, I'm sure as well. They incubate, and within a couple of weeks, those who are infected either start showing symptoms, or maybe out of the goodness of their hearts, they have a moment of clarity and they go get tested and they test positive even though they're asymptomatic. The question is who have they been in contact with in the intervening 2 weeks between getting home from spring break and starting to display symptoms? And have those people that they've been in contact with become infected? And then who have those people who have been in contact with the spring breaker been in contact with who may also have become infected? I think, provided that the testing is done at a proper rate each and every day over the next few weeks, I think the rate of COVID-19 positive tests in the United States is going to skyrocket here. It's already skyrocketing, but there's going to be a spring break surge, sadly, in the next week or two. There is absolutely no way the NHL is coming back. The NBA is coming back next month. So back to our point.
Not so much come back, but okay, now it's okay. We're going to ramp up. So say the end of April, where it's like, okay, this is
starting. Do you think players are actually going to start skating in groups? The Colorado Avalanche, an unnamed Colorado Avalanche player, was just revealed yesterday. Yeah. He tested positive. Now, apparently, he's on the other side of it. His symptoms have gone away, and he's feeling better. So they didn't announce it until it was over with. But I can't imagine players being willing to congregate in large groups unless they are absolutely sure that everybody is past the worst of this.
But who are you going to listen to? That's another thing. Who are you going to listen to?
I'd be listening to medical officials, public health officials who are in the know about this stuff. I wouldn't be listening to a rambling man who unfortunately is given a microphone every day to spew his lies. So let's presume that the next month is a complete write-off. And I think these leagues have a sense of what the best case scenario is, and then they probably also have a sense of what reality is. So if best case scenario is May, you're already behind the eight ball. You're already at least 2 weeks and probably more because you've got to get back on skates. You got to have some practices as a team. You got to ramp it back up. So let's just say best case scenario, you're a month behind where the playoffs would have started anyway. So if you're into mid-May, in a best case scenario, you've got a month to conclude the season as it would normally have finished, right, in mid-June. But you're willing to push it a little bit further. All right, well, I like my idea. Naturally, I came up with it. I like my idea of three rounds of playoffs, best of threes. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, Wednesday, Friday, Sundays accommodates both Hockey Night in Canada on Saturdays and the desire of NBC to get some afternoon games in on Sundays. And then you can play a best of seven Stanley Cup final. So I think you've got the framework. You have a sense of where this is, of what this is going to look like in a confined, shortened period of time. Whether it's my idea, whether it's a March Madness style idea, whether it's something completely different, you have that plan more or less in place, and then you're just waiting for the dates to fall into place, depending on how long it takes us to get past the worst of this virus, or hopefully this virus entirely.
Well, it sounds like when they come back to finish the season, that when you hear Daly and Bettman talk, there's going to be some kind of series playoff format, right? It's not going to be a one game March Madness. When you hear executives talk from the NHL, that they're going to have to run some kind of series, whether it's shortened or not. They're not just going to do a one game or even the best of three from the stuff that I've heard out of them. So that's going to take time. And they're going to probably have to play every other night like they used to 20 years ago, right? There's not going to be no more 2 days off. You're going to play every other day. And they're not going to have any kind of breaks.
You're going to do the old 1993 Maple Leafs, 21 games in 42 days.
Yeah, that's like, that's still hard to believe. They did that.
Well, do you remember Doug Gilmore being just completely emaciated. Like, he just looked completely emaciated. It still played at an unbelievably high level. Yeah. I mean, what a special season he had. What a special playoff run. But he, like, he wasn't practicing on days in between games, and I'm sure he was just carving up. Here's a big-ass bowl of pasta, Doug. Here's some chicken. Eat. Eat. Get it in you. And the game now is so much faster. I don't know. Do you think there's more demand on players now the way that the game is played?
I think
physically demanding than back then, or do you think it's all relative?
Yeah, no, and I've talked about this before. I get this asked a lot. It's a different game, but I think the demands were the same for that time, right? Right now, we have all the conditioning, the nutritionists. We have all these resources to us. I don't think they had them back then, but was the game as tough and fast as it is today? Probably not as much. I mean, watch the pace of the
game. Yes, the pace of the game is way quicker.
Yeah.
I've been watching some of these Sportsnet classics. And, I mean, I loved hockey back then, too. But it is played at a completely different pace. On the toughness side of it, though, I think by toughness you mean the difficulty of it in some ways.
Yes.
Because toughness, right, there was more fighting. There were more hard hits back then, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a different game. It's not, I can't say it's any easier back then, so I don't like to say things were different in different eras, right? The players are obviously more skilled. The skill level gets better every era. I mean, I'm not saying Wayne Gretzky and the Mike Bossies and the Mary Lemieux, you know, oh, it was an easy game back then in the 80s. No, it was maybe a little bit more geared towards offense, but today the players are just, they're getting better. There's just more skill. If anything, the coaching has gotten a lot different. I mean, I remember talking to my coaches in the minors a couple of years who played in the 90s, and they said there was no real systems. It was, let's just keep a third guy high was a huge thing. If I had to break down what the teams go through right now on how detailed the systems are, it would really be hard to comprehend how detailed teams are and what amount goes into video review.
Is that good or bad? Because here's why. Are players robots now?
That's the issue, and it starts at the young level.
Guys are given more leeway, I would imagine, than if they're stars, than some of the more mediocre players, relatively speaking. Like, the old thing about the 92-93 Leafs was Doug Gilmore's line. Pat Burns kind of had a rule. Doug Gilmore's line could do what it wanted, produce so much offense, but all the other three lines, if you weren't playing the system, you were getting benched.
Yes, and he said back when he was in Pittsburgh, there was no real video. They didn't have, you know, you didn't.
Who's
go,
this?
What's that? Just guys former coaches, players. Yeah.
Okay.
There was no real, I guess, I don't want to say no real coaching. There was coaching. It was just, there wasn't the same video guys would have to go through to break other teams down. You weren't looking at your own systems. Things were just different. And I mean, now that year that I was in the minors in the AHL, and we have video every single day breaking down teams, going over special teams. So it's definitely changed. That's definitely changed the game. Remember what I said about 3-on-3? This was so exciting. What did I say at the start of the year?
It'll get coached out
the
eventually.
The coaches will ruin it. And it's happened.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about putting a shot clock on the 3-on-3 because I'm telling you, the coaching is, the coaches are so smart. It is just that, I think that's been the biggest difference if you look at the different eras of the NHL.
It's funny that Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin are happy. They're both quoted as saying they'd be happy to go right to the playoffs. Sidney, quote, "I mean, you try to get in as many games as you can, I think, but I wouldn't mind starting right at the playoffs," end quote. And then Ovechkin, quote, "For me, the more games we play, it's going to be better for our fans and it's going to be better for the teams who are fighting for the playoffs, but I'd rather start the playoffs right away," end quote. What if either of those two guys were Steph Curry this year playing on a dynastic team, and the Penguins and Capitals have been elite teams for a very long time in the NHL. But what if either of those two guys' teams were having a down year? Life and death to make the playoffs, or in Steph Curry's case, not going to the playoffs at all. I wonder what they'd be saying. Of course they're happy to start at the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah,
they don't want to waste any more time in the regular season. They've got their spots locked up.
Yeah, let's put Pittsburgh at the third wild card spot right now in the East, out by a point. Let's see what he has to say then.
Yeah, or let's put them 10 points out where they know absolutely they're not getting in. You're the Ottawa Senators or Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really unfortunate what's going on here, but I understand if the league has to shut it down for the rest of the year and we just come back in mid-September for training camp. Like, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, if I'm the Ottawa Senators right now, do I care if I come back? I've got one of the top picks in the draft whenever it's held, and I've got San Jose's pick, which is also going to be one of the top picks in the draft. I don't want to play 15 regular season games and have the Sharks suddenly come back and go on a bit of a heater and win like 9 or 10 of their final 15 regular season games to reduce the likelihood that that's a high, high, high lottery pick. If I'm the Senators, I'm like, let's just bang this thing right now. Let's call it off. Season over. It's all in self-interest.
I'm sure guys like Crosby and Ovechkin, a lot of the stars would rather play 20 games of the regular season and just go into the playoffs right away. They don't want to go through a full, they know what they've won. They've made deep runs in the playoffs before. These guys, hey, they make their money in the regular season, but they want the playoffs. Like, let's start it now. It's like their regular season's a warm up for the playoffs. Who is that? Is that a Kawhi line? Yeah, I think he said something similar to that.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
that was his like low-key Allen Iverson practice spiel, where 82 games to get ready for the real deal.
And they are, though. Literally, Crosby is like that, where he's going to put a show on for the fans, but he's just gearing up for the playoffs, and that's what he uses the regular season for.
Gary Lehman is going to join us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Gary Lehman.
And it is the anniversary, 30 years tomorrow. He scored his 50th goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I was there.
You were there as a 9-year-old child.
Nine.
Pre-essential Ziggy was there.
Yes, pre-essential Ziggy.
Do you remember the final score? This is classic Toronto Maple Leafs back then.
Oh, my.
Do you remember the final score of the game?
You know what? It was my second, and I went to a game at the end of 89. This would have been my second NHL game. I don't remember the score, but I can remember walking into the gardens both times. Like, you know, when you think back to your childhood and you're like, what do you remember? What I can remember, part of my childhood, is my first game walking into Maple Leaf Gardens, into the Grays, through the concourse up top, and then actually looking down at the seats and ice, because I'd never seen it. You'd watch the games on TV, right?
Yeah.
I can remember. And then the second time we got a little bit lower, I was a little bit more comfortable, and you take down the subway to the game, right? We were living in Markham at the time. And it's the whole night, right? You're getting, you know, the puck, you know, your little mini stick, your hot dog at the game, whatever, popcorn. And then the second time, which was this game, you're just a little bit more comfortable. Our seats were a little bit lower in the Reds. And yeah, it was exciting.
You
right?
know what was funny?
Gary Lehman was the guy, right? It was Gary Lehman and Wendell Clark for me growing up.
Right. Lehman scored his 50th goal of the season tomorrow night. Leafs lost 6-3. To the New York Islanders in that game. Another 50-goal score that season potted his 53rd of the year. Pat LaFontaine, who was a pretty good hockey player in his own right, helping the Islanders to that win. So Gary Lehman is going to help us relive that. The other thing we'll get into with it, we'll get into a variety of different things with him, but I can't wait to ask him this. We always refer to the Gilmore trade, right? The 10-player deal that brought Doug Gilmore to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, Gary Lehman was as big a chip as anybody going the other way in that trade? What was it like to be one of the ones going to the other side? I don't think we've really ever talked about it. Gary really Lehman ever really talked about it.
And that's, is that still the biggest, I believe it's still the biggest trade in NHL history.
From a quantity perspective, five for five. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't see that even coming close. Like I'm trying to, I couldn't even think of what's this, the next biggest deal. I can't even think of one.
Jeez. I'm trying to think, like Berkey pulled off in terms of numbers, the Phaneuf trade.
But it was
there was Hagman
two going one way and three going the other
there
way.
There was Schustrom coming our way, right, along with Phaneuf. Keith Ollie, I think, came our way in that deal. And then the Hagmans, the Stajans, and
that would have been a big one.
Would have been another body.
So that's up there. Yeah, like,
but that's Leafs six. Flames. That's five or six or seven. Yeah. That's not ten.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what it was like. Going the other way because you're watching, you know, the Leafs with how good of a season it's tough, right?
Right.
But then how funny is it that he then goes to Montreal who won the cup? That's the best part.
He's got some good stories about that entire time. We're looking forward to talking to Gary Lehman. Some breaking news from late last night, and if you're a Blue Jays fan, and I presume that you are, this is worth keeping track of. Major League Baseball and its Players Association have come to an agreement on the parameters for a shortened season or for a lost season entirely. And we'll get into more of those details a little bit later on in the show, but this is what you need to know. The players have won one particular battle in that negotiation with the owners, and that is service time will carry over. So whether there is one game this year, 80 games this year, or 100-and-something games this year, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio, they will all accrue a year of service time. So whether the Blue Jays play or not, Vladdy, Bo, Kevin are treated as if they did, as if they did play. They get 1 year closer to arbitration eligibility. The Blue Jays, if the games are not played this year, if the season is washed, the Blue Jays lose 1 year of Vladdy, Bo, and Kevin making six figures as opposed to seven. And for Vladdy and Bo, for sure, eventually those guys will be eight-figure-a-year ball players.
And that's good for the players, not great for the owners. Actually, not good at all for the owners. I'm just wondering, I mean, they're saving how much in salary, right, in the first 2 months?
Yeah, and there's a $170 million pot that is to be dispersed among all the players. And then if there is a season.
But that's not even, but they don't have to pay the players at all, correct?
They don't, they've come to an agreement on this. So they've met in the middle. So there's a $170 million pot that will pay the players for lost games in April and May. And that will be divided up among the players, among the workers. And then after that, if games are played, salaries will be prorated. If games are not played, players are not paid another dime the rest of the season.
But the what I'm trying to say is that the owners don't have to pay the players in this situation with the virus going around. This is like the act of God clause, right?
Yes, but they've negotiated, and the owners have gotten some give back from the player's side of things on a couple of different issues, which are